Good morning. I hope you'll take out a Bible and turn with me to the book of Philemon. I appreciate Jeff reading for us this morning the whole book of Philemon. He came up to me and asked me what I would like him to read, and I asked him if he would read just the whole book of the Bible for me. I do think that that's important, though, because these books, as they would have been read when they were first written, they would have been read in their entirety. You know, when Paul would have sent a letter to a church, they wouldn't have read it in verses and chapters like we do today, but they would have read it in its full context. And so I do think it's important to, from time to time, to read these books as they would have originally been written. And I appreciate Jeff for doing that for me. You know, relationships between Christians can be difficult. If you think about it, we come from different backgrounds. We come from different experiences. We come from all different walks of life. And then we are thrown together and told to get along with each other, love each other, and act like one big family. And that's not always as easy as it sounds to get along with one another. It should be no surprise to us that this is a difficult task. We are bound to run into differences of opinion. We are bound to run into different ideas and different ways to look at things. And if we're not careful, these different ideas and these different ways to look at things can lead to resentment. They can lead to anger. They can lead to hatred. And ultimately, they can lead to division. Brethren, we need to learn how to talk to one another. We need to learn how to deal with one another in a way that is loving, in a way that promotes not division, but in a way that promotes unity. I think no better place can we find an example of how to talk to our brethren than in the book of Philemon. Paul's letter to Philemon is an excellent example of one brother in Christ going to another brother in Christ with an issue. When something is volatile, when something is wrong and something could end up blowing up, Paul takes his issue to Philemon in a loving way. And I think that it would do well for us to examine the example of Paul's letter to Philemon. Read with me first as we get started, just the first three verses as we introduce this book of Philemon. Philemon 1, there is only one chapter, the first three verses. Paul begins, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved brother and fellow worker, and to Apphia, our sister, and to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul wrote this letter to Philemon while he was in prison. Paul was a prisoner when he penned these words. But what was going on? What was the situation that caused Paul to write these words? Well, if we read through the text, as we did this morning, we find out that Philemon owned a slave by the name of Onesimus. And this slave, Onesimus, had apparently run away from Philemon. Now, there are several theories as to what happened here. The text doesn't explicitly say that Onesimus ran away from Philemon. But I do think that there are several clues within the text that show us that, as well as some extra biblical evidence that Onesimus, in fact, ran away from Philemon. But why did Onesimus run away? Why did he leave his master? Well, it may be that he wronged Philemon in some way and that he feared that Philemon would retaliate that wrong. And so Philemon, out of fear, fled away. Onesimus, out of fear, fled away from his master Philemon. It may have just been that Onesimus was seeking freedom from his life of slavery, and so he ran away. The fact is, we don't know why Onesimus ran away. What we do know from the text is that he ran away. He found Paul in Rome in prison. And after finding Paul, Onesimus obeyed the gospel and became a brother in Christ. Well, this letter was sent with Onesimus. Paul, after Onesimus obeyed the gospel, decided that he would return Onesimus to Philemon. And this letter was sent with Onesimus to Philemon. Now, as you can imagine, this kind of a situation could have blown up. This could have been a very volatile situation. Philemon could have blamed Paul for keeping Onesimus, who was rightly his property. Philemon could have attacked Paul for that. They could have never talked to each other again. Certainly, brethren have argued over smaller things in our day and age. Certainly, this could have been a bigger issue. Instead, Paul sets for us an example of how we ought to talk to our brethren. even in a situation when the topic may be unpleasant or when things may get out of hand. Paul sets for us an example of how we should talk to our brethren. I want to set before you two things that I think that Paul does in this letter that if we can implement in the way that we talk to our brethren, I think it can be very helpful. The first thing in verses 4-7, Paul makes an appeal to God. Read with me those verses. Philemon verses 4-7. Paul writes, "I thank my God always, making mention of you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. And I pray that the fellowship of your faith may become effective through the knowledge of every good thing which is in you, for Christ's sake. For I have come to have much joy and comfort in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, brother." What does Paul do first, before he does anything else? Before he ever pins a letter, before he ever says a word, what is the very first thing that Paul decides to do? Paul prays. Before he ever mentions a word to Philemon, before he ever says a word about Onesimus, Paul prays. He appeals to God. And what does he pray for? But he prays his thanksgiving for this brother with whom he is discussing these things. He says, "I'm thankful for Philemon." He says, "I'm thankful for you because you have love and you have faith." And he prays there in verse 6. He says, "I pray that the fellowship of your faith would become effective. That the fellowship of your faith would be put to use." Brethren, when we are at odds with one another, when we have differences of opinion, when things aren't going maybe the way that we see they need to go, what can be more important than that we have the fellowship of the faith? Than that we can establish a common ground and that we can put to use, make effective that fellowship of faith. We need to put our faith and that fellowship of that faith to use in our own lives. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of 1 Corinthians, and I think we'll see Paul does this quite a bit when he addresses brethren. That is, that he appeals to God. He prays to God. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And we'll read verses 4-9. Here again, at the beginning of one of Paul's epistles, he says, "I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given you in Christ Jesus, that in everything you were enriched in Him, in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony concerning Christ was confirmed in you, so that you are not lacking in any gift, awaiting eagerly the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm to you the end, blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord." This was not uncommon for Paul to begin these types of discussions with a prayer to God, not just a prayer to God, but a prayer of thanksgiving for the one he is talking to. We're talking specifically in this lesson about the volatile nature of the situation between Paul and Philemon. But you recall the situation that Paul was facing with the Corinthians? That must have been an uncomfortable situation where Paul has to write the Corinthians and let them know all the areas that they are lacking and where they need to correct themselves. But Paul still says, "I thank God for you. I pray to God for you because you have faith, because you have love." I think it's important to understand that Paul could have marched into Corinth, and for that matter, we'll see a little bit later, that Paul could have marched right into Philemon. And he could have condemned them and said, "You're doing what is wrong. You need to fix this." And he could have walked out the door and left it for them to change. But that's not what he did. He prayed to God. That route, walking in and being out the door, that would have caused more harm than good. What did Paul do? He prayed. He offered thanksgiving on behalf of those he was talking with. Look over to Matthew chapter 5, and we'll see another example where Jesus does this very same thing. Matthew chapter 5. And we'll read verses 43-48. Jesus is the ultimate example of handling confrontation. Jesus had many confrontations throughout his life on this earth. And notice what he tells us to do in verses 43-48. "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? If you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Jesus tells us to pray for our enemies. Pray for those who oppose us. That is all an enemy is. It's somebody who opposes you. And certainly brethren at times can oppose us. They're not our enemies in the sense that we are at odds with one another and the fact that maybe we don't agree doctrinally. But they can oppose us. They can oppose ideas. They can oppose certain things that we do or certain behaviors that we have. Do we pray for those who oppose us, specifically when they are our brethren? When a brother has offended us, it is not our job to first lash out at them. It is not our job to just sit idly and let it go by. But it is to pray. Pray for your enemies. Pray for those. Pray thanksgiving for your brothers in Christ, brothers and sisters in Christ. Paul prayed. But I think there's an important point in verse 7 that I want to bring out. Go back to the book of Philemon, if you will. Philemon, verse 7. After Paul talks about him praying thanksgiving for Philemon, he says, "For I have come to have much joy and comfort in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, brother." I think it's important to note that Paul could rely on Philemon. Again, the primary point that I'm trying to make in this lesson is how that we can confront brothers and sisters in Christ in a loving manner and in a way that glorifies God and maintains unity. But what about the one who is being confronted? Have you ever thought about being on the receiving end of one of those situations? Well, Paul understood that he could rely on Philemon. Philemon provides a great example of how to be approached. Paul is comforted because Philemon loves and Philemon refreshes others. That's a comfort to Paul. That brings joy to Paul. This is a prime example. This love that Philemon demonstrates is a prime example of what a Christian ought to be. Look over, keep your finger there in Philemon, but look over to the book of 1 John with me. 1 John chapter 4. Verses 7 and 8 says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love." Have you ever thought about how foundational love is to our faith, to Christianity as a whole? Love is the very foundation of it. You remember Jesus would say that love God and love your neighbor as yourself. Upon those two principles hangs the whole law and the prophet. Love is everything. Love is the entire law. Love is the foundation of Christianity. How easy would it be to approach one another with difficult situations? How easy would it be to talk to one another if we all could have the same confidence that Paul had in Philemon? If we all could have the same confidence that said, "I can approach my brother and it's going to be okay because he's going to love me anyway. Because he has the love of Christ." How easy it would be to approach one another if we had that kind of confidence in one another. Too often it is those who are spoken to. Too often it is the one who is approached that does not have the right attitude. Brethren, there must be the right attitude on both sides of the coin any time that there is a confrontation between brethren. So Paul appeals to God. Paul prays to God and he has confidence in Philemon. But the second thing that I'd like to point out, and this really takes up the bulk of the book, is that Paul makes an appeal now to Philemon. And I want to look at this appeal that Paul makes to Philemon. Note, first of all, the verses 8 through 11. Read those with me. As Paul begins his appeal, he says, "Therefore, though I have enough confidence in Christ to order you to do what is proper, yet for love's sake, I rather appeal to you, since I am such a person as Paul, the aged, and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus. I appeal to you for my child Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my imprisonment, who formerly was useless to you, but now is useful both to you and to me." Paul makes an impassioned appeal on behalf of Onesimus to Philemon. Paul does not command Philemon. Paul does not commit a command that Philemon be obedient to him. And we discussed earlier when we looked at the example of the Corinthians, Paul, no doubt, could have marched in flashed his apostolic authority and said, I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now you do exactly what I'm going to tell you. But he didn't do that. That's not the way Paul began his appeal. Look over again to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And look at verses 1 and 2. There Paul speaks about how he addresses the brethren at Corinthians. The brethren at Corinth. He says, when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. When Paul went into volatile situations, he didn't come in there with superiority. He didn't come in saying, I'm better than you, now you listen to me. He came in with love. He came in preaching only the truth. Paul no doubt could have marched in. He could have told them what to do, but he didn't. He acted in humility. He acted with love. Paul appeals in love. Back in Philemon chapter 1, he says, chapter 1, verse 8, verse 9, I'm sorry. He says he doesn't come in with the confidence of Christ to order you to do what is proper. But in verse 9, he comes in with love. He comes in for the sake of love. He appeals to Onesimus. Paul references his humble appearance. He says, I'm just Paul. I'm no one special. I'm just the aged prisoner of Christ. He says, I'm coming to you humbly. He doesn't make himself seem better than Philemon. But to the contrary, the apostle Paul lowers himself to the level of Philemon. And it is with this that he offers this appeal. Look over to the book of Philippians, if you will. And I want to show you how important it is that Christians have this humble attitude whenever we address one another. Philippians chapter 2. We'll go ahead and get a running start beginning with verse 1, but we'll read down through verse 4. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation and love, if there is any fellowship in the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Paul says, if you want to maintain unity, if you want to maintain this fellowship of faith, if you want to have this love for one another, be humble. Consider yourself lower than your brethren and discuss things with one another with humility in mind. Humility is essential among Christians. Don't exalt yourself above your brethren, but lower yourself. If we continued reading there in Philippians chapter 2, Paul would go on to explain how humility, lowering yourself and being humble, actually makes yourself like Christ. And isn't that the ultimate goal? To be Christ-like in the way that we act. To be Christ-like in the way that we deal with one another. Paul appeals to Onesimus, but he appeals for Onesimus to Philemon, but he appeals in love. And he appeals in humility. Turn back with me to the book of Philemon. As we continue looking at this appeal that Paul makes to Philemon, read with me now verses 12 through 16. Paul says, I have sent him back to you in person, that is, sending my very heart, whom I wish to keep with me so that on your behalf he might minister to me in my imprisonment for the gospel. But without your consent, I did not want to do anything, so that your goodness would not be in effect by compulsion, but of your own free will. For perhaps he was for this reason separated from you for a while, that you would have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. I think here in these verses we find that Paul reveals to us his motives. He reveals to us why he's doing what he's doing, why he's appealing in the way that he's appealing, why he's sending Onesimus back to Philemon. But notice there in verses 12 through 13, Paul would have loved to have kept Philemon around. Philemon was apparently doing exceptional work with Paul, ministering to him and being there for him when he needed him. he could have ministered to Paul. Paul would even say to Philemon, he could have ministered to me. He could have served me on your behalf. He could have been your servant to me. So why did Paul send Onesimus back to Philemon then? If Onesimus was doing such great work, why did Paul send Onesimus back? Well, look there again in verse 14. He says, without your consent, I did not want to do anything so that your goodness would not be in effect by compulsion, but of your own free will. Paul didn't want to force Philemon to do anything. Paul didn't want to make this a compulsion. He didn't want to compel Philemon to do this. But in verses 15 through 16, Paul wanted to return Onesimus to Philemon for good, so that he may be with you for good, forever. What is our motivation when we talk to our brethren? Are we trying to prove our point? Do we talk to brethren just in a sense to make a statement, to prove that we're right and they're wrong? Or is our motivation love? Is our motivation not to make them react in some way, but to help maintain the unity and to help us maintain the love of the brethren that we ought to have in Christ? Paul revealed his motives, and his motive was love. He didn't want to compel Philemon. He didn't want to do anything that would seem contrary to God's will in Philemon's eyes, but his motivation was love, and that ought to be our motivation when we talk to one another. Verses 17 through 20, though, I think it makes another point that Paul brings out, another example of Paul to follow. Verses 17 through 20, Paul says, if then you regard me a partner, accept him as you would me. But if he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will repay it, not to mention to you that you owe to me even your own self as well. Yes, brother, let me benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. I think it's important to notice here, not only does Paul make this appeal out of love, not only does he reveal his motive of love, but Paul makes a sacrifice in appealing to Philemon. Paul offered everything that he could to resolve this situation. Paul knew this situation could get out of hand, and so he offers everything to Philemon. He offers himself to Philemon. He said, receive Onesimus, receive him as if it were me coming. He said, if there's any cost to you, if there's any loss to you, he says, I will repay it. You see how Paul makes this personal. Paul takes it off of Onesimus. He says, it's not Onesimus' problem, it's my problem. He sacrifices himself. And he goes on to say there at the end, there in verse 20, he says, to make this sacrifice is refreshing to me. It is refreshing to me to make this sacrifice. But what about our own situations that may arise? Do we give ourselves entirely to the situation? Do we sacrifice ourselves to maintain the unity that needs to be maintained? Or do we have the idea that says, you know what, they wronged me, they need to make this right, and I'm not going to budge until they do? Brethren, that's not the mindset that Paul had. Paul's mindset was, I will give to this situation. I will sacrifice to maintain the unity, to make this right. He gave to the situation in order to resolve it. We as well, in following the example of Paul, need to give of our time, need to give of our resources, need to give of our energy to maintain unity. Philemon verse 21, Paul concludes here in this section about his appeal to Philemon. He concludes saying, having confidence in your obedience, I write to you, since I know that you will do even more than what I say. Here again, as we saw in verse 7 of Philemon, Paul has confidence in Philemon. Once again, we find Paul's confidence in Philemon in the fact that he didn't fear retaliation. He didn't fear that Philemon was going to come back and attack him. He didn't fear that Philemon was going to be indifferent and just let the situation stay as it was. Paul relied on Philemon's Christian character. He relied on Philemon's love and his faith and those things that come with being a Christian. He relied on the fact that Philemon was a Christian. And he knew that Philemon would make every effort to resolve the issue. Brethren, we ought to have faith in the one that we go to. We ought to have faith in our brethren. We need confidence that they will work to make it right. We need confidence that we're talking to Christians. These are Christian brothers and sisters that we're talking about. These are the ones who have been called out of darkness and into light. Are we the kinds of Christians that we ought to be? Are we the kind that somebody can come and talk to us and raise a concern and not fear retaliation, not fear indifference, but be open to the discussion and be ready to make changes so that the unity and growth of this church can be what it ought to be? We need to follow the example of Paul as he addresses Philemon. The concluding verses of this epistle, Paul writes, "At the same time also, prepare me a lodging, for I hope that through your prayers I will be given to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greets you, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit." I don't think that there's any doubt that this must have been a sensitive topic for Paul to address. Here he has Onesimus come running to him, and this is the slave of someone he knows, of a fellow brother in Christ. Onesimus could have come between Paul and Philemon, and it could have been a matter of contention between them. There could have been hard feelings between Philemon and Onesimus. But all who were involved were Christians. That is, both Paul and Philemon were Christians. And they needed to strive to maintain the unity that they were to have with one another. I think the way in which Paul handled this situation is certainly honorable. And it's certainly a way that we need to put into practice in our own lives. Before he said a word, he prayed to God. He prayed thanksgiving on behalf of Philemon. He was thankful for the Christian character that Philemon demonstrated and that he put forth. And he made a careful and a humble appeal to Philemon. He had proper motives. He was motivated by love. He offered himself. He sacrificed himself. He made it personal. He said, "I will pay. I will give whatever it is that needs to be given to resolve this issue." And he had confidence in Philemon. He had the confidence that this was a man who would act honorably. This was a man who would act in love and in faith and work hard to maintain unity. Brethren, we need to be very careful in how we handle difficulties that we have between brethren. We need to be very careful because so often these petty problems that we have with one another can end up dividing the church, can cause problems, and can cause strife. We must act out of love. We must put others before ourselves in every situation. We must follow the example of Paul as he spoke to Philemon. We haven't discussed what it takes to become a part of the body of Christ. But I can tell you that being a part of the family of God, as I mentioned before, we're from all different backgrounds and we're all kind of thrown together and we're expected to get along. But truly, there is no greater blessing than getting along with God's people. There is no greater blessing than coming together and being a family, a spiritual family. And if you want to enter that family, if you are not a part of God's family, you can do that this day. You can submit to God's will and you can become a part of His church. You can help us as we strive to be united and strive to do His will in all that we do. If you're a Christian and you have fallen away from the faith, if you have to make things right, we would welcome that as well. We want to make this opportunity now to do whatever it is that we can do to help you in your walk with the Lord. If there's anything we can do, we ask that you come forward at this time as we stand and as we sing the song of encouragement.